Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Church, there is a difference between being in the crowd with Jesus and being a disciple of Jesus. Said he called to the crowd and the disciples, and he said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. I always tell you, turn to your neighbor, say to yourself, no. That's denying yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and just ask them, are you a fan or a follower? Are you a fan or are you a follower? You may be seated in the house of God tonight. What a great question. Are you a fan or are you a follower? This message would have preached very differently 10, 12, 15 years ago before the advent of social media. Social media has taken the word fan and follower and made it and skewed it and manipulated it to be things that it really doesn't mean, because you can be a fan of someone and you can follow someone on social media without there ever being an open vessel or open lines of communication within that relationship. And so I don't really want to liken it as much to social media as I would like to liken it pre-social media. A fan or a follower. Coming into this year, God gave me two words, and I shared them very briefly at the end of a service, but I would like to share them again right now because we're getting ready to really unpack in this series one of these words. And those two words for 2023 were teach and reach. That we are going to teach, which means we're going to make disciples, and we're going to reach, which we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, which is to go. Go to the outside of the four walls of this church. But can I just encourage you with this, church, before we can reach, we need to be taught. Because some of us, we have the energy to go, but we don't have the wisdom to know yet. And you're going to be likened into the Word of God when the one that ran the fastest showed up first, but he had nothing to say. And so the king said, move to the side, because the one that is coming a little slower, he has the information, the message that I need to hear. We might not be as fast as we want to, but I would rather us be ready and prepared to share the message and gospel of Jesus Christ and be able to do what God has called us to do when we get to that place and that time. So we are going to teach and we are going to reach. And so this session, or this message and series, is going to really focus on teaching and how to become disciples and real followers of Jesus Christ. Teaching means to make disciples. Reach means to go outside the four walls of the church. This series will be heavy on teach and heavy on discipling believers. If I could encourage every believer in this room tonight or watching online, that none of us, no matter if you've been walking with God for 50 minutes or 50 years, none of us have arrived. When we realize that there's still room to grow and there's still things to learn and know, it changes our approach to services, to devotionals with God, to time of prayer, to time of thanksgiving, worship, fasting. All of those things become just as important today as they were the day we gave our life to Jesus Christ, because we understand I am better than I used to be. However, I am not all God created me to be. We will study many of the things that Jesus said about what a real follower and disciple looks like. I started just doing a deep dive and search on when Jesus said the word follow. And more than just the 12 disciples that he said, follow me. More than just the rich young ruler who I believe was supposed to be Judas's replacement when he said, follow me. Jesus had a lot to say about what you had to do to be classified as a follower. And then we will dissect some of the disciples' trips from fan to follower. This is how Webster would describe or define fan: an enthusiastic admirer. So I just want to get this out of the way. Your enthusiasm for God does not make you a disciple. I've known people that danced the hardest in church and were the biggest devils outside of church. And their enthusiasm in a church service does not label them or define them as a disciple. Because here's the thing, church. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, it is going to change a lot about you, and your enthusiasm is just one of those things. The word fan comes from the word fanatic. However, fans these days do not fit this description, because a fanatic is a person with an extreme and extreme or enthusiasm or zeal for, and most of the time in a religion or when it comes to politics. And we see fanatic as someone who is crazy about maybe a sports team or maybe an entertainer. But the one thing that I do want to be able to dissect for you and encourage you with is your enthusiasm and your loudness on Wednesday night does not make up for a lack of enthusiasm and a quiet speech and a quiet life Thursday to Saturday and Monday to Wednesday. Can I encourage you that we should start operating at this level, that I'm going to praise God in the sanctuary at the level I'm going to praise him out of the sanctuary. Can I talk to somebody today? Meaning this, that I'm not going to offer God a praise on Wednesday that I can't do in the street on Thursday. I'm not going to act a fool in the altar on Sunday if what I am operating in and at I cannot carry with me. Now, I know sometimes we get demonstrative. I know sometimes people like to jump up and down. But can I remind you that people all over our nation have been jumping up and down for something called March Madness. They've been jumping up and down for Super Bowls. They've been jumping up and down in the streets over politics. They've been jumping up and down over lottery winnings. They jump up and down and get enthusiastic about a lot of things. But they're the same ones that if you and I carried our praise like we just had outside of the four walls of this church, they would label us as fanatics. Well, yes, I am. You can be a fan without being a follower, but you can't be a follower without being fanatic. I am a fanatic when it comes to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus has done things for me that no one else can do. Jesus has done things for me that nobody else would do. Jesus has done things for me that no one else has come close to. So I'm not going to be enthusiastic here and quiet there. I'm not going to be undignified here and dignified there. David, when he began to dance out of his priestly robe, he wasn't in some synagogue. This wasn't him in his place of thunder secretly praising God. He was on the street saying, hey, the presence of God has come back to our city and back to our home. He wasn't just a fanatic fan. He was a follower who was fanatical about what he followed. A follower defined is this: a person who follows another in their ideas or belief. A disciple. Webster defines a follower. This is not Greek. This is not Hebrew. This is, and I don't know if Brother Webster, I don't know if Webster was a brother or if he was a heathen, but Webster even says, someone that we identify or define as a follower is a disciple. Now, let me break this down, because when God gave me the words teach and reach, we are teaching a new generation of believers. We've got a lot of people who've been saved and serving God for less than 6 months. Can I tell you that disciple is not a title that you check? Disciple is not a label that you wear on your coat. A disciple is someone who practices discipline. If you are going to be, and I am going to be, a disciple of Jesus Christ, we have to practice discipline. You say, well, what do I have to be disciplined in? You have to be disciplined not to go back to what you were when Jesus saved you. We have to be disciplined to say, that's the old me, but between there and here, I accepted the blood of Jesus Christ. It has washed me. It has made me new. It has made me whole, and I am a new creation. A lot of times, we look at discipline as what we must do. But when we become a believer, discipline is not only what we must do to be a follower of Jesus Christ, but now what we refrain from doing, what caused us to be on our way to hell in the first place. Do you realize that depression and fear and doubt and anxiety, all of those things love to germinate, live, and grow in undisciplined lives. And I know that's not popular because we want to talk about depression as clinical. Let me tell you something. Any medicine you can get for depression is called an antidepressant. It doesn't really fix things. It just numbs things. I'm talking to somebody today. See, when I became a follower of Jesus Christ, I turned my back on depression. I turned my back on lack. I turned my back on sickness. And what did I said, God, I'm going to live a disciplined life because discipline is what it's going to take for me to follow you from here to there. But it's not in just what I do. I am disciplined not to act like I used to act. Pastor, man, it's hard for me to put it down. I know it's hard for you to put down, but Jesus gave you his blood. Jesus gave you his spirit. You are not doing it all by yourself. Here is a man that was all God but went to a cross so that we could say, God, I've been delivered, saved, and now I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Here's the third definition. A person who imitates, copies, or takes as a model or ideal. We've gotten very good at saying church phrases, but a phrase is not going to make the devil run from your life. A cute cliche is not going to evict the enemy from your life. Remember the seven sons of Sceva, when that man said, I adjure you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached, to come out. He said, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but I don't know you. Why? Because that phrase was uttered from an undisciplined, come on somebody, and somebody who refused to follow Jesus, but were a fan of Jesus. It would be just like you knowing every lyric to every Taylor Swift song, George Strait song, or Beyonce song. You can quote them all you want. You can sing them all you want. But honey, you ain't Beyonce. See, how do you know I'm not Beyonce? I can sing just as good as her, or I can sing better than her. She just got paid $24 million to do a private concert for one of the kings in Saudi. How much do people pay you to sing? It got quiet. Just because you know the lyrics doesn't mean you can get the job done. I'm not a fan of Jesus. I'm not just quoting scriptures. I'm not just posturing like I see other preachers posture. I'm not trying to have the cadence that Jesus had when he said, Lazarus, come forth. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And I know that follower in this sense means to imitate and copy. But I'm not imitating and copying him because I'm trying to. I've spent so much time with Jesus that it's no longer an act with me. When I talk, I sound like him. When I walk like him. When I talk, When I move like Jesus. Tyler, who is now, he's now 19 years old, and he's his own man. He does his own things. He lives his own life. And I'm just glad that he loves Jesus and is leading worship and doing all the things that he's doing. But when he was a young man, he wanted to be just like Dad. And we spent so much time together that when Dad put his hand in his pocket, Tyler put his hand in his pocket. And us Fenders, well, maybe not Bishop so much, but started with me, we walk like we're mad at the ground. We just kind of amble around, just boom, boom. My coach used to say, Fender, man, you're running like the ground did something to you. Why are you so mad at the ground? On the phone, I sound just like Bishop. I'm not trying to. You listen to what I'm saying? I'm not trying to. I've just spent so much time with my father that even when I don't try to, people say, you sound just like your dad. Here's something even crazier. People told me at the conference this week, you look like your dad. Then I laid my hands, I said, in the name of Jesus, they see men as trees walking. Come out and be healed in the name of Jesus. But what they're talking about is mannerisms, facial expressions. Why is that? Some of it could be genetics, but I believe most of it is because I've spent so much time with my father that I begin to act like him, talk like him, walk like him. Can I encourage you, if you're just a fan, it's always going to be something that you have to do, something that you put on, something that is forced. But when you spend time with Jesus and you spend so much time with God, you start talking like God. You start everything you do, you're meant. What would Jesus do is no longer just a bracelet. It is an attitude of your heart. What would Jesus do in this situation? How would he respond in this situation? That's what a follower says. Talked to someone this week and they said, man, I grew up and I wore that WWJD bracelet for 12 years and it was always just a piece of jewelry. Said that I came to Living Way Church and I really started focusing on my relationship with God. And he said, now I look at my situation and I'm able to step back and in perspective look and say, what would Jesus have me to do in this situation? How would Jesus want me to act? How would Jesus want me to react? Can I encourage you? A lot of us are praying prayers, and a lot of our prayers are just laundry list of things that we want God to do. But can I encourage you the next time you pray to carve out about 2 minutes of your prayer and say, God, I want to act. I want to do what you would do if you were in this situation. Give me clarity of mind on what you would have me say. Give me clarity of mind on the decision on how you would act in this moment. And I promise you, you start praying prayers like that, you're going to start hearing the voice of God in a different way. Why? Because no longer on a Wednesday night are you a fan of Jesus, pumping your fist during praise and worship, but now you are a follower of Jesus. Where he goes, I go. When he speaks, I listen, because I want to imitate. I want to do, I want to be what Jesus is. Here's the thing about being a fan. Fan is one-sided affection. See, I'm a fan of Tim Duncan. I'm a fan of Larry Bird. I'm a fan of Tom Brady. I'm a fan, in the realest of sense, I'm a fan of T.D. Jakes. I'm a fan of Stephen Furtick, Mike Todd. I'm fans of theirs. They don't know I exist, which means this. Their encouragement is only one-sided. It is only flowing this way. But they don't know me and no relationship has been built for there ever to be something where they deposit something in me and bless me and I'm able to deposit something in them and bless them. And so to be a fan of God means that your relationship with God is only one-sided. See, Pastor Brandon, this would preach better on a Sunday morning. We're Wednesday night people. Oh, there's all different levels of fans and followers. You know that you can be a close follower and you can be a faraway follower. You can be a fair weather fan follower. Come on now. You can be an all hell breaks loose follower. We'll jump into some of those next week, but I'm encouraging people today to not just be a fan of God. Christian is not just something you check off on a box on a questionnaire. This is a lifestyle. It is not a title. It is who I am. It is who we are. And if you are here on a Wednesday night, you have to choose. Is this a one-sided affection? Is God doing everything for me, but I'm not doing much for him? If it is, I want to encourage you to graduate yet tonight from being a fan to a real follower of Jesus Christ. Because if fan equals one-sided affection, then a follower equals a two-sided relationship where love is flowing both ways, where acts and displays are both ways. In worship, we lift our hands. That is, see, fake fans, they don't worship. Followers worship. But even some followers don't worship. Just ask those that watched Mary break the alabaster box and then had problems with her worship. And Jesus said, he said, you better be quiet because I'm going to remember her worship. What is he saying? She's a follower. I'm going to remember the followers. Some of these fans I'll never see again and I'll never remember. But the worshipers, they're the true followers and I will remember. Which leads me to this point, and it's not in the notes. Judas followed Jesus all of his life, but he wasn't a follower because he followed him with his feet, but never with his heart. Followed him with his hands, but never with his heart. Showed up to church, but never really worshiped. Knelt down to pray, come on, but never really prayed. It's getting quiet. I wish Mandy was here, praise God. Judas followed him with his feet, but never with his heart. If you're here on a Wednesday night, you fall into one camp, fan or follower. However, what I'm beginning to see in a lot of church cultures is fans who identify as followers. We have an entire generation now that can identify as anything they want. And in the church, we've got really good at wagging a finger at them and saying, shame on you for identifying as a male or female when that's not what you are. If you think that is bad, what about for the so-called fans that are identifying as followers, but at the end of the process, just like Jesus, when it really comes to worship and it really comes to following and it really comes to fighting, they flake out. They leave, they sell out, they get quiet, but Living Way, we are not going to be those people. We are going to be followers in the truest sense of the word. We are not going to wear a follower's costume. We are not going to identify as followers only. You are going to be able to tell what I follow. You are going to be able to tell who we follow by what we do in our lives. It's amazing to me. Over the last 5 years, how much I don't see Spurs jackets anymore. It's amazing that all of those stupid little flags that we used to put up in our cars, I haven't seen one since Kawhi left town. Why is that? No one wants to support a loser. That's why I haven't worn a Dallas Cowboy anything except Super Bowl Sunday for 27 years. But a lot of us, we wear the jacket so that everybody thinks we're a follower. Yeah, I go to Living Way Church. I love my church. We get it. You love your church, but do you love Jesus? That should be the next shirt that we re-release. I love Jesus. I love my church, but I love Jesus. Well, how do we know you love Jesus? We know you love Jesus by how much your life has transformed since you say you follow him. One of my favorite things to do, y'all. I meet one of these young guns, 16 years old. Wearing a Golden State jacket. Name the starting five. Steph Curry. Okay, everyone in the world knows him. Draymond Green. All right, good. Klay Thompson. After that, they go silent. You're not a fan if you don't know the players. You just like jumping on the bandwagon when they're winning. Here's the thing. Why would we ever take the jacket off following Jesus? He has never lost. He is 2,000-0. He is 1,000,000-0. I am a follower of Jesus, and when you ask me about Jesus, I'm going to be able to tell you about Jesus. I'm not going to tell you as a Christian what church I go to and what denomination. When somebody asks me Jesus, I don't talk about being a pastor. When somebody asks me Jesus, about Jesus, I don't start quoting scripture. When somebody asks me about Jesus, I ask them, how much time do you have? Because in 1999, he flipped my world upside down. I was addicted. I was lost. I was religious. I was double-minded. I was unstable in all I was doing. But then in stepped Jesus, and he changed my life. Can I encourage you, over the last 24 years, this is what God has done. He has broken every addiction. He has taken away loneliness. He has been my closest friend, closer than a brother. His blood that he shed 2,000 years ago, it flows fresh on me. Do you have a little more time? I raised both of my kids in the presence of the Lord. They had miracle after miracle of healing. My parents have had miracle after miracle of healing. Depression hasn't stuck. All of the craziness hasn't stuck. Anxiety and worry had to all because of Jesus. What I follow will begin to form me. And you can tell what people follow without them expressing what they follow, because it's a new you. I was sharing with Mandy, and I'm going to close with this. I was sharing with Mandy this week, because after I listened to her sermon on Sunday, I was just blessed and encouraged so greatly. And I was blessed and encouraged by her pointing out the testimony of one of our great families, Angie and Rexy, and Rob and Brian and Angel, Haley and Eric. It's an incredible family. The first 4 years that they've been here, they planted themselves. They never miss a service. They serve in 8 or 10 different ministries. They beat cancer twice. Brian beat it. Now Angie's beat it. I counted it up, Rexy, the other day. There's over 40 people at this church because of you and Angie. That's a good thing. If we all did that, we'd have to have 2 Wednesday night services. 40 people. I've heard Rexy talk. Rexy's from the streets. Rexy can talk a good game, but he's not good enough to talk 40 people into church on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. He's not that good. You know why they're here? Because they knew Rexy before he was a follower. And they knew Angie before they were a follower. And now when they show up to the cookout, and they're still tatted up with the grills in their mouth. Well, she don't have a grill. He does. And now there's no more profanity streaming out their mouth. Now it's no more Michelob Ultra. No more, I don't know what he drank. No more Bud Light is, can I get a sweet tea or a water? When cancer was the diagnosis, and here we are 4 years later, and Brian's still here, and Angie's still here. What they're saying is, hey, when you invite me to what changed your life, I want to come be a part of that, because I got some things in my life that need to be changed too. It's not what you say. Fans say a lot of things. It's what you follow, because what you follow will change and transform your walk and your life. Stand on your feet. Feel it. I'm not a fan. I'm a follower. I don't care if everybody's walking out on Jesus this way. I'm pushing upstream this way. I don't care if I gotta walk by myself. I'm going this way. The woke crowd will not win this war. The woke crowd will not silence the people of God. He has done so much for me. To have someone who has never encountered the cross and never encountered the blood and the upper room to talk me out of what I've been following faithfully for 24 years. You talk to Chris Rodriguez right here on the front row in the orange shirt. You talk to her, you know what she follows. Not just by what she says. Because when I talk to her, she's never mentioned the Spurs to me. She's never mentioned a job and what she's doing at her job and her career. None of that's ever come up. When I talk to her, it's like, Pastor Brandon, I was at Denny's and I led 3 waitresses to Jesus Christ. Pastor Brandon, I was downtown and I was able to pray for 7 people and 2 of them gave their life to Jesus Christ. That's what a follower, not talking all this talk. This is what God is doing in my life. And I'm not saying that you can't follow sports and be fans of those things. But what I'm saying is where the rubber meets the road, in all seriousness, we have to become followers of Jesus Christ because there are so many things in this world that are trying to drag us back. But as for me in my house, as for you in your house, as for us in this house, we are going to serve the Lord. And we'll get to that in a couple weeks. Jesus talked about following in service going hand in hand. If I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, I'm going to serve God. I want to open this altar right now. I am out of time by 3 minutes. I'm going to encourage you to leave your seat and join us in this altar if you are ready to double down on your following of Jesus. Jamie has broken the ice for everybody. And as she has broken the ice, I believe there's another 24 people that need to push through whoever you're sitting next to and say, hey, excuse me, but I got to get to that altar because I'm following something that has changed in my life. I'm going to have a Jesus moment that is going to change my life. I'm having a Jesus moment that is going to change my family. So grateful for families. So grateful for men and women. So grateful for leaders. So grateful for those of you that have been with us 6 months. So grateful for those of you that have been with us 40 years. But I think we could all agree, we can all become better followers. We can all become more focused followers. We can all become better at imitating God and spending so much time with Him that it literally exudes from our life. There's a young man that met me last Wednesday night. Met me right over here. Said, Pastor Brandon, I just want to tell you a quick testimony. He said, I'm beginning to read my Bible every day. I think he's 16 years old. He said, I'm reading my Bible every day. He said, what I found out, Pastor Brandon, the more I read my Bible, the less I'm tempted to sin. 16 years of age. Not the lights going off, transformations happening in his life.